Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel. This hour is presented by Key Marine, who's responsible for the information and opinions expressed during the show.
I ain't got a high-powered motor. I don't own a wakeboard. I got a 1970 Morton guitar and an outdoor carpet dance floor. I got burgers on the grill and beer on ice, and I'll probably be seeing you soon. I ain't making no waves, ain't starting no fights, just cruising in my pontoon. All I need is me and my girl.
Well, good morning, happy Friday to you. It's 10:06 here at News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Stefan Schmidt is ready to host Boat Smart, and we already have some questions coming in. Stefan, can you believe it?
Oh, that's awesome. Well, happy to take those questions today, that's for sure. You can get them to me. I'm more than happy to answer those for you. You are listening to Boat Smart. It is a call-in show. 850-437-1620 is the phone number. So call or text those questions, comments, or anything to that number, 850-437-1620. Key Marine is our sponsor. Key Marine is located at 5621 Bower Road here in Pensacola. The phone number, 850-492-0487. Key Marine, your Yamaha Mercury Power Center. Special discounted prices on all Yamaha Mercury motors. Key Marine also specializes in service and repair on Mercruiser, Mercury, and Yamaha product. They have trained technicians that can provide top-notch service and repair. So check them out on Facebook. That's where they run their specials. They have their consignments on there as well. Also, it's customer appreciation time starting on, I believe it's Monday, November 1st. All customers will receive 25% off of labor from November 1st until January 31st. It's a great time to save some money on labor. Maybe you're getting ready to repower. Maybe you just need some maintenance done. So give them a call at 850-492-0487 and set that up. So, yeah, I'm more than happy to take those calls. And also, if it's a text, we'll do that too. So we're more than happy to do that. Jenna, are we ready for those?
Yep. So, okay, here's our first question. What is the proper way to flush a four-stroke Yamaha with the hose connection or with the muffs running or not running with the thermostats open?
That's
a very technical question right there.
It seems to be technical, but that is a good question. There's a lot of different theories on that, and you talk to different technicians and in the field, and they'll tell you different ways to do that. There is a flush attachment on the Yamaha motors, Mercury motors, different motors out there on the market. Most of the late model motors have a flush attachment where you attach a water hose to it. Now, this is how I do it, okay? Now, you don't have to necessarily do it the way I do it, but I like for the motor to be warm when you're flushing it. So I will add a hose to it, my hose to the flusher, and actually start the motor up and run it, okay? That is the best way, in my opinion, to get the motor up to temperature and to allow the thermostats to open and to flush that motor on the actual hose attachment that is on that engine. Now, you read your owner's manual, it will tell you not to do that. There's many reasons why not to do that. Water pressure has a lot to do with it, how much water you have flowing to the engine, because you're not actually running the water through the water pump impeller itself. The water is actually coming down the tube to the impeller. So some technicians believe that it's not enough lubrication to keep the water pump impeller lubricated so it won't damage it. Here's my opinion on that. As long as you have plenty of water flow, as long as you don't rev the motor and idle it only, in most cases, that will work out for you. Now, as far as muffs are concerned, there's several different muffs on the market, and what they're talking about is a motor flush or a muff that goes around the intake ports of the lower unit. Well, again, that depends on type of lower unit that is on the engine. So in other words, if it has low water pickups on it, or is it regular water pickups, or is it only the normal water pickups? So that can be a little difficult to flush those engines because you have more attachments to add to it. Very best way to flush a motor, and we do this at school, and a lot of dealerships will do this for running motors. They'll put it in a tank and fill the tank up with water and flush the motor in a run tank. In other words, we use a trough that we buy at a local farm supply. It's like a 100-gallon watering trough, and we put our motors in there. And that is basically the best way to do it because it gets your water pump and everything. The problem with the flushers on the Yamaha especially is sometimes they don't like to pick up water through that flushette, the flusher, the muffs, if you will, and provide that engine with enough water, the impeller with enough water without damaging it. So best case scenarios, or three, just put your hose on it, let it run through there. That will help. Yamaha does say that flushes the motor enough that you shouldn't deal with corrosion issues, okay? That Yamaha says that it will work. I say that the motor needs to be warmed up to open up the thermostats and that kind of stuff. That's my opinion on it. So those are the two options, or get you a trough and run that motor in a trough if you have the ability to do that as well. You know, that's real important to flush that engine every time you come back. It doesn't matter whether it's in fresh water or salt water. Highly recommend you get a good flush on that motor, and it's important to get it up to temperature while you're flushing it. So you don't want to do it just for 5 minutes. You want to do it for a period of time, maybe 15 minutes or so, to make sure that engine comes up to temperature. That's the best way to do that. So I appreciate that question. I know it kind of maybe confused you a little bit, but I appreciate that question. Thank you so much for that.
Yeah, perfect. So, okay.
Yep. So I tell you what, we've had a great, great week this week at school. We go over my student of the week this week. This week, my student of the week is Frank, and Frank has been in my program. I guess he's halfway through or so now. He is starting on stern drives, and Frank has been in my program halfway, and he's doing a great job. Frank is one of my older gentlemen, VA student. Prior military, long-term military man, and has been in my classroom for approximately 800 hours or so. And Frank's just a hard worker. He gets along with everybody in the classroom. And I just like Frank because he just sits back here and does his thing and learns a lot. And Frank doesn't mind jumping in, helping other people, and working with others, and also working on some of his stuff. He's got a couple of his boats in there that he's working on and doing stern drives right now. And he's just having a great time in our class. So Frank is my student of the week this week, and I appreciate Frank and his hard work and what he does in our classroom. Again, this is a call-in show, 850-437-1620 is the number. You can give us a call or text. I'm more than happy to answer any calls or texts that you may have. All right, we got another one here. Okay, the question, the pump doesn't seem to be working on my, let's see here, what it says, AR240. Could it be an air leak, or does it need to be replaced and regularly maintained? Do we have that right? AR240. I'm trying to figure out what that is.
Let me see. It could be a typo. Let me look real quick. Usually they'll do a follow-up if it was a typo. But I'm also seeing our phone light up too. So I'm trying to do all the different things over here. Okay, 250, a Yamaha. Is it say Yamaha 250?
Yep, Yamaha 250.
Okay,
that could be it.
So it must have been a 250 instead of 240.
Okay, all right, that's okay. So the pump doesn't seem to work, and we're gonna say it called a Yamaha 250. Could it be an air leak, or does it need to be replaced regular? Okay, he says he or she regularly maintains it, which is very good. So what does regularly maintain mean? How often are you doing the service in the water pump? Okay, when you look in your owner's manual or service manual, some of those pumps will go a couple of years without having to be serviced. So always recommend doing a water pump service during your first 100 hours or your first year of ownership. Okay, so that's always recommended. So when I'm looking at this question or trying to answer this question, there's really more that goes into this. Is that during the time that you're flushing it, or is that during the time that it's in the water? Okay, and if you're regularly servicing the water pump, sometimes the telltale hole, a lot of people call it the pee hole, the kind of little telltale hole, I prefer to call it the telltale, that's what pumps out the side of the motor to give you an indication that you're pumping water. That can be plugged up with like a debris, sand or silt, or even dirt daubers can get up in there. So I highly recommend to check that first if you're pretty sure that you're servicing the pump and you feel like your pump is in good shape. I would definitely blow out that telltale hole and make sure that there's no issues there and see if the engine will then start pumping water. Again, there's a lot of variables in here. Is it on a flushette? Is it in the water? Are you doing this, through the actual water flush attachment. And if you're doing that, it should very well come out of the telltale. So, definitely do that and see if you can get that hole cleared out. If it doesn't do anything after that, you probably need to check out water pump, check your poppet valve, check your thermostats, and make sure that the cooling system is in good condition, because you want to make sure that motor is running at the right temperature, and you want to make sure you keep it cool. So I appreciate that question. I hope I answered it. You know, I'll never know, Jenna, if I'm getting these answers out there to either confuse or to help. I hope I'm helping with these when I answer these questions. I know it's some of this stuff is technical. Some of it is just, hey, what do I do here to make sure that my engine is in good condition and the items that I'm working with are working properly? And one of the things that you got to do is kind of make sure that telltale is working and make sure it has water flow through it. So again, it is a call-in show. You are listening to Boat Smart. 850-437-1620 is the phone number. I want to mention Georgetown Technical College and their website, georgetowncollege.edu. Go to their chat feature. That is a great chat feature that you can go on there and talk to our counselors. You can talk to different instructors, administration. When you go to the chat feature, you can put a message in and they will quickly get back with you through that chat feature. Mr. Wiggins, our IT guy, he makes sure that everybody gets those answers. And if he's not monitoring, I know that Mr. Rollins and Mr. Brooks, our administration, does that as well. So they get back to you pretty quick. I know they'll send me an email and say, hey, you got a message on here, and I will get back to people as quickly as possible on there. So check out that chat feature at georgetowncollege.edu. We are having open enrollment, which is always the case. My class right now, Jenna, I went up and looked at my waiting list, and I think I got 13 on there right now.
Nice.
I'm trying to whittle that thing down.
That's a lucky number 13, I think.
Ooh.
Oh.
What is this weekend?
I know. It's a spooktacular weekend.
It is Halloween weekend.
Yeah.
You know what? Let's do this. Lucky 13. Are you superstitious?
I don't know. Are you superstitious? I'm a little stitious.
I tell you what I'm superstitious about. This is the only thing that messes me up is the 666 number.
No,
that's what I'm superstitious
about. We don't do
that.
No, that's the one. We rebuke that one.
Yeah, if I go to the grocery store and I'm buying something or any store and I have that on my receipt, I'll tell you what,
else.
I'm buying more stuff. I just that way. I had an insurance policy on a motorcycle and the numbers were 666 on it. I told him, I said, I want a new policy.
Yep.
I canceled my policy and started another one.
That is so good.
Yeah.
That is commitment, my friend.
Yep, I'm telling you, I just don't like those numbers. Other than that, I'm not that superstitious. But let's talk about boating and sailing superstitions. You know, these things started a long, long time ago, centuries ago. There was the superstitions with sailors that are, you know, I guess back with Christopher Columbus and all those guys had these sailing ships and pirates and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of superstitions out there. And in today's world, some of these will actually offend people. Believe it or not.
Oy.
But I'm going to go over it. And, you know, if I offend you with these, I didn't write these. I just looked them up.
And, that's all right. So, we won't get mad.
Yeah, don't get mad at me. You know, you can send me an email about it or let me know if you're mad. Or you can call me up. Tell me you're mad. That's okay. So let's go over some superstitions. And I got the 10 top superstitions for boating. Okay. And this is boating and sailing. And these go back centuries. And some of them are still, happening today. People still believe these and these different type of superstitions. So number one, listen to this one. No redheads allowed on board.
Oh my gosh, I feel like that is like partially offensive.
Yeah, I'm telling you, no redheads allowed on board. Several cultures over the centuries believe that redheads were unlucky, so this might be why sailors shunned them. Another possibility, redheads were considered fiery personalities. How about that?
Yes, I could see that. But what was Mr. Smee? I thought he was a redhead. Somebody was a redhead. Maybe it was Peter Pan, but I don't know. Listen, I thought they were like an endangered species, and so we need to have them around.
Exactly. You know, and I I think I've had redheaded people on my boat. I've never had a problem, so you know.
Well, there
I
we
have
go.
Friends that have redhead. I like them, you know. So there
we
you go.
We like redheads. Yes.
You know. All right. Here we go. Here's another one. Okay. This one is going to make you upset. All right. Uh-oh. No women on board.
Okay. All right. Now we're pushing it, buddy. Calm down.
I know it. I know it. Women folk who listen to this. Women folk were considered too tempting to ancient mariners. Women also were believed to make the seas angry, resulting in dangerous voyages. Never mind the fact that boats were named after women and that the female figureheads adorned the bow of many vessels. So how does that make sense, right?
You know what? It sounds a lot like life. It just doesn't make sense sometimes.
It does. It does. So,
that
so no
is
women
too good.
On board. You know, I like to have women on board my boat and go out and hang out with them, you
yeah.
know? So, yeah.
Some of them are a little high maintenance. We don't want them around.
It's fun with what would boating be without women, right?
Exactly. So, exactly.
I'm okay with it. So, you know, I'm okay with it if you so don't send me the emails. I'm just reading this off of the internet, okay?
It's the
Here's number 3. Yep. Number 3, bananas are banned. Now, this is something that people actually believe now.
What?
Yep. I've fished with many, many people in the past, and they do not like you to bring bananas on the boat. They are bad luck.
Oh.
So don't bring a banana. Hey, they're a good snack, right?
Yes.
They keep you going and all that stuff. Has nothing to do with the banana as far as the value of the nourishment or if it keeps you going and that kind of stuff. Bananas are banned from a boat because they can – The few explanations of the banana is bananas are favored hiding grounds for spiders.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Some of which the nasty food, some of which nasty to spiders can occasionally cause bites that were deadly. So centuries ago, ships transported bananas from tropical islands with these stowaways unbeknownst to the sailors until they discovered them the hard way. So what about that?
Oh no. Yeah, okay, I understand that. I've actually seen a couple of crazy stories where they were picking the bunches and there were banana spiders in them. So
right,
do a double check in those bags. That's all I'm saying.
Yep. So the bananas, and today people just believe that bananas are bad luck because of that. I got another text here. I'll go ahead and read this one. It says, I have a redhead daughter, been on the boat and no issues, but yes, she's fiery and couldn't imagine life without her.
Right.
So that
I love
is
it.
Awesome.
That's so
that
great.
Is awesome. That's a great text. Thank you for that. That's just lightens my day. I appreciate that. Like I said, this is stuff that people have written on the internet, and this is one of those places I went to. Since it's Halloween and superstitions are part of Halloween and that kind of thing. So here's the next one. All right. Always step onto the boat with your right foot.
Always
step onto the boat with your. Have you heard that?
Yep. I grew up actually for the longest time. I grew up on lakes and by the Chesapeake Bay for a really long time. And yep, when you stepped on a boat, they made you step on with your right foot.
That your was... right foot first.
Mm-hmm.
Your left foot brings bad luck for the journey ahead. This remains among plenty of old salts today, and apparently you are an old salt, you know?
I'm okay with that, yep.
And that is one of the things that, and you know, after I read this, I'm trying to remember when I get on boats, do I get on the boat with my right foot or my left foot? I'm going to start thinking about that when I get on there and see which foot I lead with. I believe it's probably right because I'm right-handed, so I think that your right foot would probably be the one that you would lead with. Naturally, but I've never really thought about that, but I'm going to start putting some thought into that. So that is a great little thing to think about when you're getting on a boat. Again, this is a call-in show. You can call us and text us at 850-437-1620. We're going over boat superstitions since the Sunday is Halloween. It's a Halloween weekend, and we've just been talking about superstitions on boats. All right, here's number 5, and I can't do this, so this one doesn't even qualify me. No whistling.
Oh, you can't whistle?
No whistle? Well, I probably could, but not very well. Not like a lot of people whistle. You know?
I can't do those loud whistles. I've tried and I've practiced, but those loud ones I can't do. But so you're not allowed to whistle on a, but aren't there like boat whistles?
Yeah, well, they have a boat whistle, but the person's not allowed to whistle on the boat.
So, okay, maybe
so
that's
don't whistle
why.
On the boat.
Can't confuse
it's bad
it.
Luck.
Okay.
Putting your lips together and blowing while you're standing on the boat will stir up the wind and therefore the seas.
Our texters are on fire today. I can't even read all of them on air.
I'm telling you, this is great. You know, so no whistling. I've been out there on a calm day and somebody was whistling and all of a sudden the seas blew up, you know, but I thought that, I don't know, I'm just kidding about that. Never happened. Okay, just kidding. So no whistling.
Like King Triton or something.
Oh,
I don't know.
My gosh. You people are cracking me up with
Stephen
these text
can
messages.
Read the text too, y'all, just so we have
like, you want me to read that one?
I don't know. There's a few that have come through that I don't know if I'm allowed to read on air. But
don't bring people on a boat that have gas.
That's all we'll say. We'll just put it like that. Yep, because we don't need any extra wind.
Right. I don't know if I can say that word on the air, so I'm not going to say it. If you think we can, go ahead.
So, I think that's hysterical. Yeah. No, I absolutely love it. This is so much fun. This is a great Friday mood that we are setting.
All right, it's Friday, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Never start a voyage on Friday. Yeah. Some people point to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ as the origin of this superstition. One related note, others say that it originated with the adherence to the no work on Sabbath. How about that?
Oh.
Interesting, huh?
That is one I've never heard. And I can understand that. Well, yeah. And in the Jewish culture, you know, it starts at sundown. You have Shabbat. So I understand that.
And this was a long, long time ago when we were talking about sailing vessels. And they're probably talking long, long voyages where you leave from the port, you know, so that kind of thing. So I know a lot of people that go out boating on Fridays, and I'm not holding that against them. I like to boat on Fridays. If I have time off, I'm going to go boating on a Friday. So this one does not apply to me as far as the superstition part of it is concerned. So
exactly.
Okay.
We ignore that one.
So, that was a good one. So, oh my gosh, I'll tell you, this is fun. I got another text message here, and let's see here. I am old, and I only step on with my right foot, so I'm an old salt. All right, we got an old salt listening to us, and we appreciate that text message. I'm not paying attention to that. I'm gonna start watching people and seeing when they get on the boat. I'm going to watch my students. You know, make my students step on with the right foot when they're working on the boats? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. We may have to try to do that. All right. I'm probably not going to make them through all of these. This one here is very true. This is one that holds true today. Never change the boat's name. And I get this question asked a lot. Ooh. Never change the boat's name. And I know that you've heard of that one. And that's a good superstition that people still use today. And there's a lot of things that you have to do if you change the boat's name. So a lot of people will do that. There's some rituals that you have to do to make sure that your boat's name, that you, if you change it, you christen the boat to make sure that a renaming ceremony, and you follow those steps for that ceremony to change your name on your boat. A lot of people ask that question.
Okay. All right. I can see. Listen.
Have you heard of that one?
You know what? I've heard never name it after, like, you know, an ex-girlfriend or like a girlfriend or, you know, if it's not really commitment. Like, name it after your mom or something.
I would never get a tattoo of an ex-girlfriend on my arm either. So
I don't think I would get one of anybody.
You don't want to do that. Anyway, we are running out of time. I'll tell you what, it was fun today. Thank you guys for all the texts and fun stuff today. We just had a great time. I want to thank my sponsor, Key Marine of Northwest Florida. Key Marine is located at 5621 Bower Road. They are open for business. Check them out. Give them a call, 850-492-0487. Remember, Monday, you can start that 25% off discount. It goes on until January 31st. Use it for services, repowers, general maintenance, whatever you need. 25% discount off of all your repair needs. It's a great time to save money, and Lord knows we need to do that nowadays. Try to save some money so we can buy more groceries. Save money at Key Marine, 850-492-0487. Set that up today, And thank you guys for listening, and thank you for such a fun day today.